is he's willing to be wrong. He's willing to step out, and he's willing to juggle multiple competing ideas and weigh them and feel them, get a sense of both of them, right? And feel out which way makes sense, which way already fits in with his worldview, right? He's created this sieve, and he's sifting and sifting and sifting, and certain stuff stays from that, right? And those things that stay are those little gems, those little moments where you're like, whoa, that like blew my mind that they just said that. And so, you know, our worldview that Ben has and the worldview that Andrew has, that's our sieve. And it's our duty to go out there and sift through, unfortunately, a lot of crap. But eventually you're going to find some of these things that really stick with you, that really stand out, and that really make sense and really matter. And then eventually those gems just kind of become a part of the sieve, right? It becomes a part of the way that you see the world. And I think more people could do better at sifting. At actually sifting, instead of just grabbing a handful of sand and saying, this is the only sand, this is the only right stuff.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections. I am here with Andrew Biernat. Andrew, what's up, man? How are you today?
Hey, what's going on, Ben? Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. I mean, really simply put, we just talked for 20 minutes. When I do admin before a show, it's usually 3, 4, 5 minutes, but I just love talking to you. I think you're brilliant. I think the audience is going to love it. And yeah, I'm just appreciate you being with me here today, man.
Thank you. And ditto, because I enjoy talking with you. I enjoy talking business, talking strategy. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations now about the shower thoughts, you know, or the, you know, the middle of the night, I woke up and this was on my mind kind of a thoughts. And it's just cool to have similar minded people to just bounce those zany ideas off of, because a lot of times they're not so zany. They're actually pretty interesting and they can lead to some really cool places.
100%. Not so zany at all. I like that word, zany. I'm going to start using that one. So Andrew Biernat, who's Andrew? He's a coach, connector, podcaster, author of 2 fitness books, actually, owner at Finger Lakes Business Consulting, and the host of Build Your Business Better podcast. I want to double down on Build Your Business Better, because the episodes are still there, but if you listen to my first 5, 10, 20 episodes, I think they kind of stink. I kind of want to invite guests back on to do it justice. I always fall on my face like 15 times before I get it right. You seem to like get it right immediately. Like, I don't know if you're a world-class communicator or what it is, but Build Your Business Better podcast was good right from the start. It's kick-ass. Yeah, compliments to you. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, your business, whatever comes to light, man.
Sure. So first of all, thank you. It's it's been an absolute blast creating a podcast. And I'm definitely the type where once in a while I'll have that, you know, shower moment, like, oh, I've got to do this thing. And sometimes I spend too much time planning it. It's too much time setting it all up and getting it all going. But with the podcast, I did just enough of that and then just went live. And kind of to your point, it was like, hopefully when I look back from episode 100 to look back at episode number 1, I am mortified and embarrassed at how not good it is. And to your point, like you're saying, it's great. And I do appreciate that. And listening to your show, I have the great fortune of hearing the way that you ask questions. And so for me, that is something that matters a lot, especially to good content and a good show, is being able to ask questions well. And a lot of times I'll be listening into a conversation and you'll be asking a question and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I want. I didn't even know I wanted that, but that's what I wanted. So to flip that back, I do enjoy your show as well. But yeah, that's the show itself, Build Your Business Better podcast. It's really focused on business owners or business leaders, upper level managers, people who have some level of autonomy and control in a business situation. You get to make some strategic decisions. You have some tactical stuff that you're doing, but you have some power, you have some control, and your thoughts, your ideas, and things that come to you can actually make an impact in your business life and business world. So the goal is to bring in other people who are experts in their field and who know maybe a little bit more than I do, and they can share on that. And my job as a podcast host, just like you, your job is to tease that out. Is the gems of knowledge are already within these people, and it's our duty to bring that out for ourselves and for other people. I feel like as a host, I'm hopefully learning more than even my guests are or the audience is as they're listening in, because it's truly amazing some of the people that we get to chat with, that we get to talk to, and the ideas that they have and that they get to share.
It's funny. It's fun talking to you, because I feel like it's like a mirror of some of my beliefs. Like you get to tease out these incredible insights from these brilliant people. And where'd you get the idea, man? Like, why'd you start a podcast? Why are you so pumped up about business? I mean, I just saw Dune. My roommate loves Dune. He's read every book 3 times. I had never even opened Dune. The movie was great, but I'm obsessed with business and podcasting and these weird niche things. Like, Why is this a passion of yours? Where did you get your start? How were you introduced? Anything like that?
Sure. I'll go at it 2 ways. One is the idea of a podcast. And then the other point I'll dive into is, you know, my passion for business. Mm-hmm. So the first point is Tim Ferriss was, you know, a pioneer with the whole podcasting. And, you know, seeing his couple books that he came out with, Tribe of Mentors and whatever the other one was, you know, came out very similar timing, but basically this gigantic book of like amazing people, right? And you're like, dude, how do you get like a Rolodex like that? You know, like, how do you meet this many? There it is. Yeah, Tools of Titans.
Tools of Titans. I think it's 5,000 pages.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, you just look at like the guest list in this book, and it's like the who's who of every single arena from sports to business to all other places. And it's like, wow, that's incredible. But you look at the type of person that Tim Ferriss is. He's got this quest and this hunger, this deep hunger for learning, right? He's got this desire to improve himself, and he's created a business empire around that. And what really occurred to me was that it's the format of the show that allows that to happen. Because you can create a podcast around any number of things, right? You can create a podcast where you just have a guest come on and they just do a monologue. You can have a podcast where it's you just talking. There's a lot of different formats you can do. You can do it story-based. You can just do workshop-based. You can do a lot with a podcast. But the interview style itself lends itself to, number one, networking and network building. And number two, it lends itself to a really deep richness where you get to follow your own excitement. You get to follow your own quest for knowledge, your own quest for improvement. And that reflects itself through the questions that you ask from the guests that you can bring in. All of that can come right from your own show. And so for me, I'm a very growth-minded individual. I like improving myself, and I like getting better. And part of that is business. I went to business school, and I went through Finger Lakes Community College, and then I went to University of Buffalo. And it's just something that's very fascinating. I can read about it all day, and I tend to research and learn and read and listen. It shows up all over the place. And I spent 8 years as a personal trainer. And at the start of my personal training career, I spent a lot of time, you know, learning about personal training, the human body, you know, food and how that impacts exercise and what types of exercise to do and all that. It goes on forever. And the depth of knowledge that you can acquire there is insane. It's absolutely absurd how much you could learn about the human body. But once I had enough functional knowledge, once I had a great idea where I could, you know, talk about the human body and exercise for a couple hours without stopping, once I had that base of knowledge, I kind of lost my fire to dive deeper. And it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years later when I'm, you know, looking at my reading list, you know, what is it that I'm reading? What is it that I'm listening to? What is it that I'm doing? And it's all business. It was all personal growth. It was all those type of books and podcasts and YouTube videos and documentaries, right? That's what was showing up. You know, and I'm looking, I'm going to these fitness conferences and stuff, and I'm talking to these other fitness professionals, and they're talking about the new hot trends. They're talking about all this other stuff. And it just started to become kind of boring and kind of just another cycle of the same thing. And it just wasn't exciting for me. It wasn't interesting to me, and it wasn't grabbing my attention. And so I realized, you know what? I like the business aspect of what I'm doing, and I'm fortunate that I was in a small business. So I had plenty of opportunity to be an intrapreneur within that fitness business. So that's where I wrote 2 fitness books, created a course, helped create like an online library of workout videos. Like, it was a blast. I got to exercise some of that business and entrepreneurial muscle, but it wasn't everything that I was doing. I was very much delivering a fitness service. That's what it was all based around. Mm-hmm. And for me, the fitness service wasn't something I wanted to continue doing. I still love exercise and fitness, love all the people that I've met through that, but it wasn't going to be my forever thing. And so over the COVID break, as I like to call it, I had a lot of chance to reflect. I think many people had that same opportunity. And that's why we're seeing so much movement, so much action in the job market, is I think a lot of people reconsidered, they rethought about what mattered, what they wanted, and then how they were going to get what they wanted. And so we were very much in an employee-led marketplace now, where more and more people are saying, well, here's what I want from my work, and I'm expecting to get that. And if I can't get that from you, I'm going to go somewhere else where I can. And for me, I was like, okay, so I'm not getting these certain things, or at least enough of them, from my fitness career. Where is it that I can find that? Where is it that I can do that? And so, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to start podcasting. I'll start like a coaching consulting business. That'll be fun. And as I'm doing that, I'm getting all hyped up, getting all excited, you know, and then the reality smashes you in the face. And it's like, wow, I got to make sales. Like, I got to meet people. I got to go out and network, and I got to kind of build up from nothing, right? I gotta build a business. And for me, I'm thankful to be a husband, a father of 2 beautiful little girls. And for me, they're my number one priority. I need to provide for them. They need to have food. They need to have a roof. There are basics that have to be covered. And if it's just me, I can go a lot faster, right? I could risk a lot more. And so I've become a little bit less risk averse in this phase of my life, just because there is so much that has to happen. I have to provide. And so looking at the risk side of it, evaluating the growing side of it, I decided to mitigate my risk and work on growing slowly at the same time. So had I been single, I would have gone all in on coaching consulting, and I would have just, you know, eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day, lived at my parents' house until I had enough money to make it. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, with the time over COVID, savings got a bit depleted. And I said, you know what? I need something to cover my basics. You know what I mean? I need something that's going to keep me going in the meantime. And it's something that I'd like it to be something that I enjoy as well. And so right now I'm also working at the local Chamber of Commerce, the Canandaigua Chamber of Commerce. And for me, it's a fantastic opportunity to do what I'm already good at, which is sales. It's talking to people, it's relationship building. And then I get to do that as my job and my career, which then incidentally rubs off on my personal brand. And then also on my coaching business and podcast as well. So I feel like right now I've got this melting pot of everything that's going on, and I just keep chucking ingredients in, you know, and right now it's like I'm brewing this kind of really interesting stew, and I'll be, you know, pulling out spoonfuls, and we'll kind of see, you know, if I like the taste or where it's headed. But, you know, right now I feel like I've got momentum, and I feel like a lot of people maybe have been missing some of that momentum. So, you know, to get momentum on your side, it's a scary thing to start to see it slip. So I'm keeping pushing.
I like the stew analogy, Andrew, because this is, I don't know if I should. I was going to say it's hilarious. It's more sad, but I'm a bad cook, but I'm a great slow cooker. And you get to put things in, you let them slow cook, you put in minimal ingredients, because it takes time. And it takes time to build something big and great. And I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, because I hear, just, you know, in the personal development space, a lot of just ultimately major success stories of, I quit my full-time job. I was the manager at Wendy's. I quit my full-time job to dive 100% into my business. This is what I did. I grew massively. I only had $2 into my name. I was sleeping on my best friend's couch. And I don't know if these I don't dive deep enough into the story, but I know I hear this story a lot. I don't dive deep enough. I don't know if it's a white male who's upper middle class that actually has parents funding some of this stuff, or tremendous salesperson that used sales to do this, or just got lucky and the 99 stories are exactly the same but failed. So when you tell your story about mitigating risk, you started with the screw it, I'm going all in. And then you realize I have to mitigate risk. Let's work at the chamber. Let's build connections at the chamber as I stew, as I build my business better slowly. Tell me a little bit more about your philosophy there, because I hear a lot of people, again, saying the latter, be an entrepreneur, quit your job, do what you're passionate about, and the money will come. Is that true? Like, what's your opinion on all this stuff?
Sure. I think all we got to do is briefly look at the statistics as far as business success and business failure. And that tells most of the story. I'm not going to quote the statistics, I don't remember them offhand, but it's not good. It's bleak for starting a business. Your chances of success a year out is not very good. At 5 years out, very much not good. 10 years out, not good at all. So, you know, your chance of success is low. And when you interview someone or when you talk to someone, there's two things at play. There's the one side is, you know, the people that say that they are in business and that they are working and they have stuff that they do. They're the survivors, right? It's like, you know, oh, well, back in my day, we didn't have seatbelts, you know, we drove in the back of the pickup truck. It's like, I mean, yeah, you can talk about that. But the people that got bounced out of the pickup truck and didn't make it, they're not here to tell the story. You know, those business owners that opened, took on all this risk, went all in, and then failed miserably, they kind of just fade to the background and they don't really like to talk and share their story as much. Right. And then there's a flip side too, where there's the not really successful entrepreneur, but when someone asks you about your not successful business, most people don't have the gumption to tell people that it's not going very well. Right. And so they just say, well, yeah, it's going good. It's going all right. You know? And so they hedge a bit. And so, you know, really we're getting kind of three layers of bias coming at us. One, survivor bias, the people that have actually been successful, which is a small percentage. You're getting the people who are in the process of being unsuccessful, who are pretending to be successful in an attempt to be successful. And then we have the unsuccessful people who just kind of fade to the background and we don't really hear much from. And so, you know, I like to look at business is it is a numbers game. You do need revenue coming in. You do need to make some sales. You do need some form of marketing. You need customers. Okay. You have to have value. You need to add value to the marketplace. And that's going to be the key is creating that value, adding that value, and then telling other people how you can add value to their business. And so for me personally, starting from scratch, right? Breaking into a new industry, a new field, mm-hmm. It's going to take longer than I want it to. Just about every business person I've talked to has told me it just the first couple of years it sucks. It's just hard. You're not going to have traction. You're not going to feel like you have momentum. Nobody knows who you are. You're not going to be very good at explaining what you do, how you solve that problem, how you fix stuff. But it's only through doing it and having those repetitions, those times at bat where you actually get that opportunity to improve. And so I'm trying to set myself up for that longer game where I can have more of those up bats and I have more opportunity to cover my expenses in the meantime, right? And work on building my network and work on actually adding into the community as well. So working at the chamber kind of gets to do all that for me, right? I get to make an impact yes. in my job, which not very many people get to in their 9 to 5. But then that impact also impacts my life outside of that in my podcast and in my business coaching.
Yeah, you get to add into the Finger Lakes community, make an impact, grow your business. And yeah, you're right. It doesn't happen overnight. Justin Bieber is a great example just because people love it or hate him. You know, we got popular at what, like 14, 15? He blew up. It's like, oh, he got lucky. That kid was playing guitar since the moment that he could use his hands. He was learning to sing. He had 15 years practice before that 15-year-old got popular. And sometimes I tell my story, it is a success story that I built my business quickly, but I had a small music marketing business for 5 years that failed miserably. I got into places for free. I sometimes got a couple free drinks, but that was never anything big. But I had 5 years practice in the music industry before I started, more universal business marketing company after 5 years of practice and failure. So it's not like you just roll out of bed and start a great business. So let's say I'm a business owner and I'm an intrapreneur, a salesperson, anybody who's a self-starter looking to grow, looking to drive revenue. How do I build my business better? Now, let's imagine this is a coaching call with FLX, business coaching, right?
Yep.
Finger Lakes Business Coaching. It's a coaching call. Where would we start? Is there a taking off point for no matter where I am in my career? Where would I start to start building it even better? Even if I'm already up in the sky, how do I build it better, whether I'm still at the bottom or up in the sky?
Yeah, I'd say the first place you always need to start is to get a bead on where you are and where you want to go. Because you can go as fast as you want and you can do as much as you want, but if you have no clue where you're going, you're either not going to get there or you're not going to get there very fast. And so it's important to really understand where you want your business to go. And so I was just working with a guy a couple weeks ago, actually on my podcast. He's got a couple car washes and, you know, I was talking with him about, okay, well, where's your business headed? And this is a wild, you know, you'd look at him from the outside, wildly successful. You know, he just closed on a lake house. He's got the dream. He's got this cool job. He gets to work with people that he loves. He's building this business. He's adding a new location every year or so.
Oh, like wow.
It's growing. It's huge. Yeah. And it's not like it's not capital intensive. Like it takes a lot to do this. And so, you know, he's created a business that is running and can start to sustain itself better. And from the outside, you look at it and you're like, man, this guy knows exactly what's going on. But talking to him, you know, it was tough for him to articulate exactly where the business was going. He had a couple year goals, you know, year goal, 2 year goals, 3 year goals, but in 10 years, 20 years. I mean, he didn't really know what he wanted to do. You know, it's like he was just building it just to build it. And that's fine. I think it's fantastic, especially when you're just getting started. You just got to build. You just got to do something, right? Just start selling, start creating. But at a certain point, you got to really evaluate and you got to say, well, what do I want? Do I want to stay small? Do I want to build a nice, strong, solid business where it's just me and I just rock it and that's everything, right? Or do I want to bring on employees to support what I do, to kind of expand this mission, to build something bigger than myself? Do I want to be strongly associated with charity work? Do I want to add into my community more? All of these factors are very important because if you don't know where you're going, it's hard to get anywhere. You're going to distract your own self with stuff that's not worthwhile, things that are not going to get you what you want. And it's only later that you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, that project was a failure. Well, why was it a failure? Well, it's because it didn't fit in with the secret mission that I hadn't articulated yet, you know? And so I think for a lot of people, just defining where you're going, right? I'm going to build a giant multinational company. Fantastic, right? That's what Sam Walton did. Okay. He set up his company knowing that it was going to be huge. And he set up the estate taxes and everything to work in such a way that he saved his family billions of dollars after he passed because of the way that he built his business, the way that he set things up. He had a plan for the way that he was going to do it. And so really square one is, what's your plan? What are you doing and where are you headed?
What's your plan? I'm thinking of a fitness analogy. This is going to be a kind of a philosophical question, but I want to give a taking off point. I've noticed in fitness and the health industry, there's a million philosophies, right? But I focus in on two philosophies. There's, you need to follow a diet, you count calories, you pay attention to what's in and out of your body. This is very strict. You need to have SMART goals. You need to have a strict plan. The other end is, as long as it's healthy, you don't have to count calories. Don't worry about it. Don't follow a strict diet. Just eat healthy foods. Eat fresh foods. Eat organic foods. Eat healthy foods. Don't worry about the calorie. Just be active. You'll be happier that way. Is there a balance between the two? How does this correlate? Like in business, should I have SMART goals? Should I have a 5-10 year plan? Or is it okay just to be holistic and have intuition that what I'm doing is right? Do I need a balance? What's your philosophy? Because I find I'm more on the holistic end. I don't have a 5-year plan. I just know that if I'm moving in the right direction, I'm getting closer. And if someone says you went the wrong way, I just turn the next direction. But am I missing out on something bigger by having that kind of soft, holistic, kind of hippie mentality on things?
No, you bring, and that's actually fantastic that you relate this to fitness, because this is something that I saw a lot, and it happened a lot when I would weigh people in. So in my fitness career, I would teach boot camp classes, and anywhere from 10 to 20 people per class, and they're signed up for the month. And so what we would do each day is they would weigh in at the scale, and I would just record it. The goal wasn't to see if they were up, see if they were down. The goal was just to collect data, just to see over time, where is your weight headed? Okay. The majority of people in our program were looking to lose weight. And so with that, they would step on the scale, and they would often bring up a conversation. They would say, things aren't going well. You know, it's not moving. What's going on, scale, you know, and they're blaming the scale, this external measurement of what's happening. And, you know, I'd ask questions. Well, okay, well, what are you doing? Well, what do you mean? What am I doing? Well, like, what are you doing differently? You know, you want a different result, right? So what are you doing differently to get that different result? Oh, I don't know. I'm eating healthy. I'm like, oh, okay. You're eating healthy. That's good. You know, but analyzing what they believed was healthy started to open up a couple doors to saying, I don't think we consider that healthy. You know what I mean? I don't think that type, you know, I don't think, you know, gluten-free pasta is necessarily that much healthier than pasta with gluten in it when it comes to a calorie and nutritional perspective, right? It's not bringing that much more impact to your body. But there's a lot that can get confusing when it comes to healthy lifestyle and healthy behavior. And to flip that over to the business side, if you're coming into business and, you know, you don't know much, or you're still learning, or you're in that process of figuring stuff out, it's very easy to kind of be that kind of bohemian, like, it's just going to be great, man. You know, and a lot of that can get you derailed. So tying back to fitness, I would see people that would just like, oh, I'm just going to eat healthy. Right. And then they just get stuck. They get stuck and they're like, I'm eating all the right stuff. Why aren't I losing weight? And it's like, well, yeah, maybe you're eating all the right stuff, but it's not getting you the result that you want. So you need to eat something different. You need to change what you're doing. And it may actually be your beliefs about what is healthy. And so looking at the business perspective, what beliefs are you bringing into business that are either going to hold you back or bring you forward? Because when it comes to your business, if you have good business acumen, if you have a good business sense, you've experimented, you've tested, you've read, you've researched, you've talked to a lot of people, you've got a different base coming into it than somebody else. So what I usually recommend when it comes to fitness is that people do track, that people are aware of what they're eating. You are micro analyzing what's happening, and you track for long enough so that you can get the experience necessary to look at something and know if it's healthy or not, to look at your workout schedule and know if that's going to get you to your goals or not. Because often you're just not well educated enough to make the call on what the right decision is. And so learning that way, by setting goals, by analyzing, by studying, by watching your food, watching what happens, all those things teach you how to be a healthier person. And then once you know how to be a healthier person, the amount of check-ins that you need to do after that become less and less impactful, right? Counting calories after you already know what's healthy isn't as big a deal anymore, unless you notice things start to slip. And so, you know, tying that to a business sense, if someone's brand new in business, I would not recommend just winging it, right? You mentioned that you have a decent amount of experience. You've done stuff. You've experimented. You have a feel for what's going on. And so being a little bit more loose, I wouldn't say is necessarily a bad thing. But for someone maybe who doesn't have any of that experience, for someone who's always just worked for somebody else, who doesn't really know how to market or how to make sales or how to acquire customers, right? For people that are new in that sphere of things, I would strongly recommend you get some mentors, you find some peers, you have some hard goals, and you talk to those people that are going to push you to level up your game. Because if you don't have that, you'll run into what a lot of people run into when they're trying to lose weight. You're just going to get stuck. And in business, if you get stuck, you start to go hungry. And when you start to go hungry long enough, you start to look for a way out. You start to look for an alternative solution. And oftentimes that means working for somebody else. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but if you have that entrepreneurial spark it can really hurt. It can hurt real bad. So my encouragement for those that are brand new in business, you need to build up that business acumen. Mm. You need to build up that business muscle in order to be a little more free flowing. But in the same token, I think having minor goals or at least a direction that you're heading is important. Like for you, Ben, you may not be able to articulate your direction clearly right now, but I guarantee you, you have a pretty good idea where you're headed in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. You're trying to build something, you know, based on our conversations. You're not just, oh, I'm just going to do a podcast. Oh, I'm just going to do this, right? No, you're building towards something. There is a master plan. There is somewhere that you're going.
Oh, it's tremendously encouraging for anyone, Andrew, and for Ben Albert. I'm a lifestyle guy, so I'm focused on how can my business and my lifestyle intertwine where it's not work-life balance. I actually got this from Linda Healer's podcast, Normal Lies. One of her guests called it a work-life blend. How can I blend the two where I'm happy at work and I'm enjoying myself and enjoying my growth? I love how you're talking about how learning the craft and having a plan, because the vision in my head is like, I'm a big music guy. So I'm imagining that guitar player in that huge stage with all the lights, and it's an improv. They jam a little bit. He's in the middle of a solo and he's hitting all the right notes and it's perfect. And 20 years later, people are going to listen to this live recording and be like, listen to the time when Andrew did this at 4 minutes in. And that 20-second solo 4 minutes in is hundreds of thousands of practice and learning and reading and improvising and listening, all for that one 20-second moment. He's not just, let's smoke a bowl and play something. There is so much work that went into that 20-second moment in that solo, but you got to put in the work. So you mentioned, you know, sometimes people feel stuck. When's there a time where you hit a roadblock or you felt stuck, whether it was in the fitness industry or the business, building the podcast, any of this? When's a time you hit a roadblock? How did it feel maybe? And what was your first step? Like, how did you get out of that issue, that situation you were in?
Sure. And I'll relate this back to, I'll go even further back. When I first came out of college, was at the end of the Great Recession, and it was tough to get an interview. It was even tougher to get a job. And I came out of college with one job offer. And it was the job that I had used as like my experiment. I was like, well, I just need some experience going to interviews, so I'll just show up and wing it and see what happens. And apparently, because I was so relaxed about it, I did really well. And so I got that job offer. Whereas some of the other jobs that I was like really nervous about, really wanted, I did horrible. So it was just kind of funny the way the human mind can do stuff. And so I ended up at this job in sales. And I don't mind sales if it's for the right type of thing. In this case, it was the wrong type of thing. So for me, I was selling a product that I did not believe in. And it was very, very difficult. And at the time, I wasn't emotionally mature enough to recognize what was happening. And so I ended up going down a very, very, very dark road to the point where, you know, I was abusing alcohol quite frequently. Like I was, it felt like it was always dark because I was just always staying up so late and waking up so late that, you know, like the day would go away. Yes. And so like, you know, I also lived in Buffalo at the time and, you know, we live in upstate New York and it's just kind of dark here anyway, but you know, it was just a dark, dark time in my life. And so
you wake up, just smoke from the buildings, tired.
Yeah. So it was just tough. And so I was there for 2 years and I did not make any decisions. I just put everything off. Whether I had like a car repair that needed to happen, I would just put it off until my car stopped working. When I had like issues at work, I would just like not make the phone calls until like it was like a crisis. And so that just became my life. And, you know, eventually, you know, that work environment didn't work, you know, and I had to move on. And I didn't have the guts to move on my own. own. So the company I worked for was kind enough to help me move on. You know, so they let me go. And that was another almost nail in the coffin, right? Where I was so afraid to make these changes. I was so afraid to take control and command of my life that, you know, I just didn't. And I just let life coast and let things just kind of sail by. And a lot of times we learn some of our biggest lessons through some of our biggest mistakes. And for me, I made a lot of big mistakes in that time in my life. And it was only through then starting to experiment and test and try again that I started finding some growth and some traction. And that's actually when I made the career switch from sales into being a personal trainer. And so, you know, I had the guts to just jump on it and, you know, say, hey, well, here we go. I'm going for it. And it was kind of funny. The moment came down to an interview that I had. I was in like the fourth or fifth round of an interview process. It was down to me and one other candidate. I was going to be selling medical, used medical devices. And it was going to be like this brand new territory that I had. And so, you know, medical devices, I got no clue, but you know, I can sell, you know, I could sell, I could talk to people. And so, you know, it came down to me and this other guy. And the interviewer who had been interviewing me this whole time was the person that was going to be my boss. And it was just like, it was just softball questions every time. Like, tell me about how great you are. Like, tell me why you're so awesome. You know? And then it was, oh, sure. Yeah, I could talk about that. And then she's like, okay, for your next interview, you're going to be interviewing with my peer who works in this other business unit. Right. And so I interview with her peer and this lady was brutal, like absolutely brutal. And so everything that I said or everything that I did, she just downplayed. She was like, it's not really all that convincing. Or, oh, okay. I mean, I guess, you know, it's just like, oh, just downplaying everything I said. And I was not ready for that. I was not prepared for that style of interview. And looking back, had I just thought about it, it's just older than dirt sales type tactics. You know what I mean? Just like the customer saying, well, no, I don't think so. You know, and then it's my job as a salesperson to reignite that excitement, to re-catch that up. But I wasn't ready because I'd been fed softballs this whole time and I was lazy. Right. And so, you know, at the end of the interview, I crashed and burned so hard. I was frustrated by the end of the interview. Right. But that was a knock on my sales skills at the time. Right. Because I wasn't ready for those mini rejections and that overall rejection. And so at the end of that interview, I was like, okay, thank you. You know, hung up the phone and I'm like, even if they offer me a job, I'm not going to take it. Like, I was just so frustrated. Right. Oh, but that same day I had worked with my brother in his personal training studio and the environment there caught my attention and seeing people that were not only excited to exercise at 5 o'clock in the morning, but were nice and were kind and were generous and like just making that connection, especially coming from where I just was in like a time of real darkness and like real challenge. I was like, holy cow, like this is like night and day difference. And so, you know, trying to, you know, kind of look back on my career and look back on things that I've done, a lot of times it's those mistakes that become pivotal turning points that can really become the next jumping point.
It's powerful. It's powerful. Tip for anybody who's looking for a job. If I don't have a good answer, I literally say, how would you answer that question, Andrew? How would you answer that question?
And
if they get snotty with you, you can even get kind of snotty with them. Like when you're parallel parking and you nick the curb, do you get upset and drive away or do you fix it? You fix it, right? So let me answer that again. Because they're just, they watch, a jerk like that wants you to fight for that interview. Yeah. They don't want you just to be relaxed and charming. They want you to fight back. That's their personality. Totally the opposite personality of me. But I say all this now, talking to you. In that interview, I probably would have caved, man. That sounds rough.
it was absolutely brutal, right? But going back, if I was to do that interview again, I would go in strategically, right? They made a strategic choice to change interviewers, right? It's going to be a person that I don't work with regularly. So if it creates ill will, it's not that big a deal, okay? And so I can go into that interview, right? Now, knowing that like, ooh, this is probably going to be a tough one, right? This is one of the last interviews. They're going to try and prove why I shouldn't have the job. Everything up until now has been trying to prove why I should be mm-hmm. the candidate, why I am the right person. Now they're trying to see why I'm the wrong person. Okay. And if it's just down to me and one other person, I just need to be the least wrong at that point coming out of that interview. Right. And so just looking at it from a broader strategy perspective, just understanding an interview process better. Hopefully maybe people that are interviewing out there that are listening, take that away from this, right? At first, they're just making sure that you can do all the right stuff, that you're great. And then once you get real far, they're trying to see where you crack, where you break, and where the flaws are. And so it's your job to just patch up the flaws as best you can and just kind of present yourself as you are.
Brutal, man. You got to patch it up though. You got to get through. So you and I are going to record an episode for your show, Build Your Business Better podcast. So I'm going to pin this now. We're going to go rapid fire because I want to leave time to record that. But the rapid fire round's fun because it's a mix of Family Feud and Whose Line Is It Anyway, where Family Feud, end of the show, 30 seconds to give the best answer possible. But Whose Line Is It Anyway? The answers are completely subjective. The points don't matter. They're completely based on whatever the heck Andrew thinks. So you don't have to, you can fill in the blank. You can just throw the question out, click skip. I don't know. Whatever, Andrew, whatever comes to mind, first response. I'm rambling, man. Everyone who's heard this show already knows. I've said that like 10 times, but just in case you're a first-time listener,
there's
that's
some
how
there.
It works. Yeah. All right, so coffee or tea?
Green smoothies.
Beer or wine?
Water.
I was hoping you would say green smoothies again. Cats or dogs?
Kids.
Mornings or evenings?
Mornings.
Podcast or music?
Podcast.
Online shopping or in person?
Man, that's getting dicey. Yeah. For myself, I really enjoy online shopping, but working at the chamber, I'm recognizing more and more how important in-person shopping is, especially for our local businesses.
Amen to that, man. Do you eat breakfast? If so, what's your healthy go-to? Because I know you stay fit.
Yeah, I eat 5 eggs every morning.
Whoo, 5 eggs. How do you cook them?
I usually just crack them in a pan, leave it for a few minutes, come back and like scramble it a little bit, and then it's done.
So long answers accepted. 3 mentors, whether it's a podcast, a book, a personal mentor that you work with daily. Who do we want to shout out? If I were to add to my list of people to learn from,
Well, we mentioned earlier in the show, Tim Ferriss. He's got a lot of great stuff. Podcast is fantastic. His books and his insight and just the way that he's lived his life is fascinating. Mm. It's worth studying just on a macro level of this guy that's just some guy decided to do all this stuff. And now he's an authority. He has a message he gets to spread. And so I just look at that as a kind of a gateway to what's possible. Is you can be a nobody and become somebody. You just have to meet some somebodies and you have to get to know them and you have to network and you have to grow and build your personal self. And I think a lot of that is risk-based. How much are you willing to risk? How well are you willing to kind of live in fear, right? Get to the edge of that boundary. And he's a fantastic case study in that. So Tim Ferriss, I'd say, is a great one.
Interject real quick and then I want to hear the next two because it just randomly came to mind. But Tim Ferriss, one of the places he got his start is he was on national TV and him and this gal, I think it was 30 seconds or 60 seconds, but they broke the record for most salsa spins in 30 seconds or something. They're just standing and just like twirling at massively fast pace. And he's not a professional dancer. He's a fitness guy, personal development, entrepreneurship. He sold vitamins online. What is he doing spinning at full speed? And it's really just a testament of wanting to be the best at everything and learning the fundamentals, because you can be good at spinning, but to break the record, you need to know the fundamentals. So that just randomly came to mind, nerding out on Tim Ferriss. Who are the other two? Maybe two people to have at the dinner table with you.
Sure. So another one I would say is probably my brother. So I've been able to work with him and kind of under his leadership in the fitness industry for 8 years. And it's just great being able to bridge the gap between philosophy in business and rubber meets the road, what actually works in business. And he's very, very practical. He's tried lots of stuff. He's been very pie in the sky sometimes. And he's been in business for, you know, almost 15 years now, and he's got a lot of scars and he's got a lot of lessons that he's learned. And, you know, sometimes I can get excited about, you know, philosophical business stuff. But being able to talk with him is useful, and actually be able to apply it as well within business to see what actually works and what's actually going to get results. So he has been a great mentor in that sense, and he's fantastic. He's also my brother, so I've been very lucky there. And oh man, a third one. I'm trying to think. I think
live or dead.
That's actually really good too. I'll go alive. I'll go alive. I think Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's another one, just another podcaster, another guy that has created something, right? You know, started on Fear Factor, you know, then got into something he was passionate about, which was, you know, fighting and the physical condition and, you know, just martial arts in general. And, you know, he then built that into this kind of gigantic worldwide reach type of a forum where he just talks to interesting people and has interesting conversations that go on for hours. And, you know, you look at like who would have thought, like, Joe Rogan, this random dude from X Factor, you know, like it's like imagine where the people from like Entertainment Tonight, you know, in the late 90s, like where'd they end up, you know? But like, you know, Joe Rogan like was just one of those random guys, you know, just got this cool shot at doing Fear Factor, but then kind of followed his passions and followed what was interesting and what was exciting. And so for me, I take a lot away from that in following what's exciting and following what I enjoy. And then I can take that and learn from it and then apply it and grow and provide value to other people as well as I do that.
Yeah, following what you enjoy. I like that. I mean, Joe Rogan, he talks about mixed martial arts, comedy, fitness, psychedelics. Like, it's just a guy with a lot of interests.
Yeah. Well, then he can talk about politics, you know, and then he'll dive into talking about viruses, and he'll talk like he's just the breadth of knowledge he has is fantastic. But I think what's most important and really my biggest takeaway in just watching and listening to him is he knows what he knows and he knows what he doesn't know. And he's also keenly aware of what other people know and what other people don't know. And he's not afraid to call people out on when they start trying to blend that line a little bit. And that's what makes it entertaining, but that's what makes it educational as well, is that he's, and I feel like this is something that's missing today from a lot of people, is he's willing to be wrong. He's willing to step out, and he's willing to juggle multiple competing ideas and weigh them and feel them, get a sense of both of them, right? And feel out which way makes sense, which way already fits in with his worldview, right? He's created this sieve, and he's sifting and sifting and sifting, and certain stuff stays from that, right? And those things that stay are those little gems, those little moments where you're like, whoa, that like blew my mind that they just said that. And so, you know, our worldview that Ben has and the worldview that Andrew has, that's our sieve. And it's our duty to go out there and sift through, unfortunately, a lot of crap. But eventually you're going to find some of these things that really stick with you, that really stand out, and that really make sense and really matter. And then eventually those gems just kind of become a part of the sieve, right? It becomes a part of the way that you see the world. And I think more people could do better at sifting. At actually sifting instead of just grabbing a handful of sand and saying, this is the only sand, this is the only right stuff.
Everybody click the 15-second rewind button on your podcast player. Click that about four times. Listen to this again. We'll be back with you in a moment. So, Andrew, ultimately, how do people get in touch? Let's say work with you on a business, friend, build a relationship with you. Should I connect on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter? Where should I go to connect with you on a personal level?
Yeah, I would say Facebook and LinkedIn are probably the best ways to get in touch with me. So Andrew Biernat, last name is spelled B-I-E-R. NAT. Again, you can find me, chat with me. You know, I'm kind of an open book. I'm not looking to sell or pitch. I'm just looking to grow and improve. And I like finding people that are similar, finding people that are also looking to grow, that are also looking to improve, that maybe you're in business, maybe you've got a podcast, or maybe you've got a dream. You know, let's talk. It's fun.
Let's say I want to stalk you and listen to your podcast. What would I expect from Build Your Business? Well, what are the conversations like? Why should I subscribe?
Sure. So my goal in the Build Your Business Better podcast is to get some stories, right? To hear some war stories, but also to get some tangible, actionable things that you can do. So as a small business person, or even as a person in a larger business, if you're, you know, a manager, middle manager, or in the C-suite, you know, there's going to be takeaways that you can have. Even if it's only one or two gems, there's going to be a lot of value in each episode that's going to kind of push you to be better at what you do. We cover stuff from HR, to sales, to personal development, to branding, to everything in between. So the topics range in a lot. And so I recommend just trying to find one that seems like it resonates with you and then just kind of jump in on that episode. I always try and find guests that can articulate their points really well and can share their depth of knowledge.
Andrew, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to record an episode for your show. So go subscribe to Build Your Business Better. Check out the show notes. Get in touch with Andrew. I didn't give this disclaimer at the start. I forgot to, but I don't know if anyone can see it in my eyes. I slept like 4 hours in the past 3 days, it feels like. I'm so tired, but conversations like this pump me up. Completely forgot about the lack of sleep. I gained a lot of value. I hope everyone at home did as well. And thanks a third time, Andrew, man, for coming on the show.
And Ben, thanks for having me. It's a true honor. And, you know, to all your listeners and all your guests, thank you for listening. This is a great podcast, and he does a lot of work to make sure that you guys get nothing but the best.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.